We are continuing our summer series on Jesus. Jesus on Snapchat. Pictures of Jesus that we find in the scriptures. And it's not just about looking at pictures of Jesus. It's about allowing the presence and the power of Jesus to change our lives. We don't want Jesus just to come to us. We want Jesus to flow through us. And that's his plan. His plan is not just to come to you today and bless you, which he wants to do, but he wants that blessing to flow through you because the world desperately needs you. Have you been watching the news? The world desperately needs the kingdom of God to flow through people like you. And so as we look into Luke chapter 10 today, we're going to look at a moment in Jesus' life where he gathered together 70 people. He'd already sent out the 12 and said, hey, go out and tell people about the kingdom of God. And then he expands it. He brings 70 people together and says, okay, I want to give you some instructions. And we're going to look at those instructions because Jesus wants to multiply his ministry. And the way he does that is through his people, through his sons and his daughters, and you're all eligible. I ordain you all into the ministry today. You're all ordained. Because Jesus calls us together. So, okay, the world needs you. And he did that 2,000 years ago, and that's happening right here. The world needs you. And he sends the 70 out into the world to bring his message of hope and healing. And that's what he wants to do today. So I've gathered you here together. The Holy Spirit's brought us together today, and we're going to hear the same thing that Jesus said 2,000 years ago to his followers. Okay, get out there. Do good stuff in the name of Jesus. And as we look at this chapter is filled with truth. And we're not going to drill down on one of those truths today. We're going to do a landscape view of this passage. We're going to like look at the mountaintops. We're not going to drill down on any specific mountaintops, but I'm going to give you a lot of stuff today. So please put your seatbelts on. Lots of script. If you get your study guide out, it's just going to help you because we're a lot of script. If you take notes, God will bless you with a new car. No, it's maybe not. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe he could bless you with a new car, but I don't know for sure. I want to look at the principles of Jesus multiplying his ministry, which is what he wants to do, and he wants to do it through you. Not just to you, he wants to do it through you. And here's how he sends us out today. First of all, he wants to send us out in a spirit of cooperation. We need to work together. We got to be in this with others. We got to live in community, and we've got to affect our community. And as he gathers them together in Luke chapter 10 and verse 1, he says, I want to appoint the 70. He brings them all together, and he sends them out. How does he send them out? Does he send them out alone? No. He sends them out two by two. Everybody, here's the message. Everybody needs somebody. You can't live this life alone. You can't have an effective mission and an effective ministry, and your life cannot do all that God calls it to be until you are connected. You have to be. Two by two. Ecclesiastes says two are better than one. That's just true. Two are better than one. That's why we're together this morning. Two are better. If you're watching online, quickly get here to church so you can be with us. Amen. Two are better than one. Why? Because we need encouragement. Okay, let's just do it. How many of you from time to time need encouragement? Because we drift. We drift. We're like, and that's why somebody else has to be there at that moment to speak a word of encouragement. How many of you need prayer? That's why you need to be in community with someone else so that people can pray for you. And when you are in ministry and when you're sharing the gospel especially, it's good to have somebody with you because they're praying with you and they're encouraging you. One of the things the enemy is working at in your life, I don't know all the plans the enemy has for you, but I absolutely know this plan that the enemy, the devil, has for you today, and that is to separate you from the people that you need to be a part of. Listen carefully. He is trying to separate you from the people that you need to be a part of. He does it all the time. And my ministry and your ministry and my mission and your mission aren't just added to each other. Here's how it works. When we get together, our ministries are multiplied. Jesus doesn't work with addition. He works with multiplication. He said greater things than this. And Jesus did a lot of good things, healing the sick, delivering people. He did a lot of good things. And Jesus says greater things than this, all the things Jesus did, you're going to do. Why? Because your ministry and his ministry are multiplied when we work together. I remember the first time that I was sent out two by two. It was to help plant a church many years ago. I was just a teenager. And I was helping to plant a church. And they put us in groups of two. And they said, go out and tell people about Jesus. We were so nervous. Most of the first day we sat on the curb talking about Jesus. Trying to encourage each other. Hey, maybe we should go tell somebody. I don't know. I'm kind of nervous. Hey, maybe. We tried all. And finally we got up the nerve to go and knock on one door. And we knocked on a door. And thankfully the people knew Jesus. And they had us in and they gave us cookies and we were very happy about that. Now, as we worked together all summer, we became like spiritual Rambos. We were like, okay, who's next? Who's next? We were praying for each other. We got into it together because the more time we spent serving together, the better we got at shining our light for the Lord. And that's what he wants for you. Nobody does this thing alone. There are no lone rangers. Even Lone Ranger had Tonto. Even he had a partner. Everybody needs to be together. It's one of the reasons we come together as a church family, because we are just better together. Somebody say that. We are better together. Someone say it out loud. We are better together. It's true. Two by two, cooperation, working together. The second principle is this, the principle of expectation. We have to really look to the Lord. We've got to look for him to do what we can't do. And in order for Jesus to teach us that, here's what he says as he sends out the 70. He says, okay, as you go out, I don't want you to take any finances with you. This is going to cause you to depend on me in a wonderful way. Verse 4, don't take your purse or your wallet or a money clip. But he doesn't say anything about credit cards. No, he's really saying, hey, I want you to depend on me. I want you every day to look for me to be your source and your supply. I don't want you to be captivated by money. When he sends his disciples out in Matthew 10, he says, don't take along any silver or gold or even copper. In Mark chapter 6, don't take money in your pockets. Because here's what the scripture teaches us, and we should all learn this. It is possible to be rich in money, but poor in faith. And here's what the scripture teaches us. It's possible to be poor in money, but rich in faith. And what's going to change the world? I'm going to tell you what's going to change the world. It's people who are rich in faith. Because in ministry, money can sometimes be a distraction. This is what he's trying to teach us. Money is not our source and our supply. God is our source and supply. When we look to money to be our source and supply, the Bible calls that, Jesus teaches us, that's the spirit of mammon. I've seen it happen over and over again. One of the things that I work at is church planting new churches. We planted 20 churches last year, but I could tell you many stories of church planters who have a vision from God. And many of them have to be bivocational to get going, and that we understand that they've got to work at something else while they're getting their ministry going, while they're planting their church. But while they're working at something else, some of them get captivated with money and they never develop their ministry. You got to be careful about that. I got one guy comes to my mind right now. He said, while I'm going to plant, I'm going to go into banking. And he was super bright, and he did super well at banking. He did so well at banking, he finally gave up on church planting. And there's no church, but he's making a lot of money, and that's not good. I'm just going to tell you, when you get to the end of your life, there's not going to be a balance sheet of how much money you made. What's going to be with you in heaven are people. That's what ministry is about. Ministry is about bringing people. No one's going to say, how much did you have in SunTrust? You're not even going to give an account for that. The only thing we're bringing are people. And so he just said, I want you to keep that very, very straight in your own heart and soul. Depend on God. And when you depend on God, then God will use money. Here's the thing. You just got to be careful. Money is not using you. You're using money. And that's when they went out with no money, money couldn't use them. They were trusting in God. When God called us, when the Lord spoke to us in 1996 to come here to Sarasota, we came for zero salary. We just had to trust God every week. And we had to say, Lord, how are we going to eat? How are we going to keep our roof over? We had to trust God. Now, many years later, the Holy Spirit has to bring us back constantly, which he has to remind us that money is not our source and supply. It's not the size of the ministry. It's not how many people are here. It is our dependence on him. We need him. Without him, nothing happens. With him, everything happens. We got to keep that straight, even as God has blessed us. But we got to keep that straight. He says, okay, I want you to expect me and trust me and follow my direction. So there's the principle of expectation. The third principle is, I just want to talk about it like this, the principle of simplification. Your ministry, your life will do better if you simplify, if you travel lightly. And here's what the Lord says. As he sends out the 70 and as he speaks to us today, he says, don't take a traveler's bag or an extra pair of shoes. My wife really needs this one. Sandals. He wasn't saying don't take any luggage or don't take any clothes. He was saying, hey, when you in this life, learn this principle. Learn this principle about ministry. Keep it simple. It's not even how cool you look. I will give it to you. I am not the coolest looking guy. I'm very in touch with that. Mark Groover is. That's why we have him around for the cool factor. That's good. But you got to keep it. God, it's not how good you look that's going to change the world. It's how much you love. And let me tell you this. Lots of us are carrying too much stuff around in our lives. And every once in a while, you've got to declutter. Every once in a while, you've got to purge your life. I bet you, if you look at your list of things to do, which you should have, there's things on your list that do not line up with the mission that Jesus has for you, and you've got to declutter those things. You've got to travel lighter in order to accomplish what God has for your life. You've got to let stuff go. And that's what he's saying. Travel light. And your ministry will be more effective if you travel light. And don't try to impress people with stuff. When I speak, before I get up here, I take off my watch because so I can preach longer. Not really. I take it off because it's a very expensive watch. It's plastic. It's a Timex. Not a Rolex. I do have a Rolex. I got a great deal on it, Times Square, right on the street corner. It's a marvelous deal the Lord brought to me. I just want to commend you. If you live simpler, it's not about show. It's about loving people. And that's what Jesus, as you go out there, you don't need 75 pairs of shoes. I thought there'd be one amen in the house. I thought somebody would get that message. It's just true. There's stuff in your garage. You just need to let some stuff go for the journey so you can simplify. So you can, let's talk about this next one. So you can concentrate and stay focused on what your life really is about. What is your life really about? What are you here for? What's the purpose? And Jesus is saying, I have a purpose for you. It's to bring my kingdom onto the earth and stay focused. And here's how he says it. When you're walking along the road, don't stop and greet anyone. Now, he's not saying don't be friendly. But in the Middle East and in the Middle Eastern culture, especially in Jesus' day, greeting somebody in the road could take hours. Like if you stopped, if you said hello, if you like engage it, then it could be hours, sometimes all day. And sometimes they'd invite you to their house. And it was appropriate if you're invited to someone's house that you would go with them. It could take a whole day. He's saying as you walk on this journey, stay focused and don't get distracted. It's like if you go to an Italian's house, they're going to feed you. And be careful, because when Italians feed you, when you think you're done, they bring out another course. You think, oh, there's some more. And that would happen in Jesus' day. They'd say, oh, okay, come over to my house. And he was saying, hey, there's a journey, there's a mission, and I want you to stay about the mission, which is to bring the kingdom of God, the love of God, the message of hope to a world that really needs it. Don't get distracted. And I promise you, the week we're going into, you will face at least 1,000 distractions this week. Now, that's not an exaggeration. That's a thought, that at least 1,000 distractions. As you're trying to take your next step, as you're trying to follow the Lord, there'll be an email, there'll be a phone call, there'll be an urgency, there'll be something that comes up. And what he's saying is stay focused. Okay. Look over the last 7 days. Look over the last week. How much of the last week was concentrated and focused on bringing the kingdom of God to other people's lives? That's what he's asking. Be sure you stay focused on what really matters. And what really matters in God's economy are people and people spending time in heaven with him forever. And that's his work. That's why he sends us out, so we can bring the good news and don't get distracted. The next principle, what number are we on anyway? What number? 5, you must be concentrating. Good for you. 5, it's this principle. As you go out, okay, as you stay focused, you stay simple, as you keep moving forward, it is the principle of affirmation. It is the purpose of your life. As you walk out from this place, you are on the planet to be a blessing to the people you're going to meet today. You're on the planet to bless them. And as you go out, it's not to create controversy. It's not to debate people on religious issues. It is to bring a blessing. What Jesus says is as you enter into a relationship with someone, as you enter into their house, give it your blessing. The words that come out of your mouth should be words of blessing, words of affirmation, words of encouragement. That's your ministry. You have the ministry of being a blessing. Jesus says it like this. Another version calls it spreading peace. Every room you go into this week, every workplace, every business meeting, every work day, you bring peace into the workplace. He says, whenever you enter in, you say these words, may God's peace be upon this house. Now, when you try to encourage people, when you try to talk to them about the kingdom of God, have you noticed not everyone receives it? They don't. And so he says, I want you to be aware some people are going to receive the kingdom of God and the peace of God more than others. So he encourages us, if there are people who are in that place who are peaceful, and I'm going to encourage you to do this. You could put a little star by that or circle that. Look for people in your life who are peaceful people. They're people that will receive your encouragement and they'll help spread it along. And they receive, and he says, if they receive it, that's good. If they receive your message of peace, if they receive the kingdom of God, that's good. Then that blessing is going to stay there. And if they're not, it's going to return to you and you're going to carry on. Don't spend a long time debating with people. And just tell them about Jesus. and tell them that God wants their life to be whole, and he wants to help them, and he wants to heal their brokenness, and he wants to bring them out of the darkness. Say, hey, the peace of God be with you. Do you know that people in our nation, in our country, they need encouragement. The people you're going to meet this week, the people live beside you, the people you work with, they need encouragement. And they need some affirmation. They need some blessing. And if you'll speak blessing over them, you will create a space for God's grace to work in. And that's how Jesus sends us out. He says, as you go out, be a blessing. Speak a blessing over people. Hang out with people. Be with them. Go ahead, just say something nice to the person beside you. Just practice, just practice. Just go ahead, practice. Practice, go ahead, practice. Just practice, just practice. Just practice. Some of you are so uncomfortable right now. You go, I don't know this. That's what Jesus is talking about. Some of you are so uncomfortable to speak a kind word. But you got to get used to it. And some of you are so uncomfortable to receive a kind word. So Jesus says, you go out, speak a blessing over people. At the restaurant, speak a blessing over your waitress or your waiter. Hey, how can I pray for you? Is there anything I can do to help you? Just speak a blessing. Now, I found this. When I offer to pray for people, which is a great thing to do as followers of Jesus, as I offer to pray for people, about 9 times out of 10, people will say, sure. They'll agree, they'll say, they'll let me pray for them. And that's a wonderful thing to do. That brings the Spirit of peace. That brings the Holy Spirit into the restaurant, into the grocery store, wherever you go. And that brings the blessing of God. So that's the blessing of affirmation, or the principle of affirmation. Let me briefly talk about the principle, or as Jesus sends them out, of incarnation. That's being with people. That's being present with people. Have you ever talked to somebody and they're talking to you, but they're looking over your shoulder? Have you ever had a conversation where they're talking to you, but they're looking for an upgrade? You know what I'm, so they're talking to you, but you know they're not present with you. They're like, "Who is there? Somebody better I could be talking to?" And what Jesus says, when you talk to people, don't do that. Incarnation means to incarnate. When Jesus talks about the incarnation of Jesus, it talks about Jesus becoming flesh. He came to be with us. And here's what Jesus says. When you enter a town, don't move around. Don't look for an upgrade. Don't look over their shoulder. Stay with one place. Stay, I would say it like this. Stay, when you're in conversation with a person, stay with them. Learn the power of being present. Have you ever talked to somebody and they gave you the feeling that the words you were saying were the most important words in the world? That's an incarnational conversation. When you're talking and they're trying to understand you, and you get the feeling, this person wants to understand me. It's not a surface conversation. They're present with me. It's an incarnational. I'm not looking to move on. I'm staying with you until what needs to happen with you happens in your life, and then I can move to somebody else. But I'm present with you, incarnate the conversation. And learn that. Learn that in talking to people. Learn learn to value them the way God values them. Do you know that Jesus is especially fond of you? You know that? He's especially fond of you. Do you know that Jesus is especially fond of you? He is especially fond of you. And it's giving that sense. Do you know that Jesus is especially fond of you? And when you're talking to somebody, that's the sense you want to give them. Jesus came to be with us. That's what incarnation is about. And when we are representing him, we want to be with the person we're talking, because you're representing Jesus. You're letting that person know Jesus is especially fond of you. That's what you're doing. And you're not trying to change everything about their life. You're not trying to make them like you. You're trying to make him like Jesus. And Jesus, he loves all kinds of people. Jesus loves all kind of culture. Jesus loves, you're not trying to make people like you, you're trying to make them like Jesus. So let me briefly talk about this principle. It's the principle of accommodation. It's the principle of ministering to people where they are, rather than trying to get, like, let me go out on a limb here. How many know that Jesus loves Republicans? I'm on a limb here. Okay, now let me flip that around. How many know that Jesus loves Democrats? A little less on that one. I'm just going to tell you that. I'm going to make my point here. They don't have to politically be like you for you to share the kingdom of God. Well, this is a message we need. I'm telling you. I stepped out there. Okay, I went a little far there, but I'm going to tell you. Let me come back to an illustration you can understand a little better. Food. Whenever you go into a city, verse 8, and the people welcome you there, eat whatever they serve. He's saying value them. Eat whatever they serve. Now, I'm going to just, if you go to different cultures, let me give you a little coaching here, a little pastoral help. You don't have to eat at all. Just, I've eaten all kinds of food. I've traveled around. I've eaten Vegemite with the Australians, kimchi with the Koreans, posho with the Kenyans. Here's the thing. If you go to another culture and they feed you, if you eat it all, they're gonna feed you more of the same stuff. That's a little practical. So eat a little bit and push the rest around your plate. This was so good. Here's the principle. Here's the overall principle. Value people. Value their food to us, because we are generally in North America people of wealth. Eating together is not as significant as it was in Jesus' day. When you don't have much and you share food, you are sharing life. And that's what happened in Jesus' day. They shared life when they shared food. And so what he's saying is, hey, value their life. Find things in common. When Jesus met the woman at the well, he didn't start talking to her about her broken relationships and the many men she lived with. He started talking about water. Let's have something in common. We have water in common. And he established a common, and he shared that with her. And then finally, let me talk about this one. The principle of mobilization. Because we can have all this stuff, but if we don't get out there, we're not out there. Here's one of my great concerns about being a pastor and being a teacher of God's word, is that we come together each week and we learn some scriptures and we go, wow, that was good. That was wonderful, that's good. But it doesn't affect what we do out there. And what Jesus says, it's all about what goes on out there. And I want you to go out there. That's why he gathered the 70 together in Luke 10. You want to see this picture of Jesus? It's Jesus sending us out. And here's the picture of today. In a moment, you're going to be sent out from here. And you're going to touch people in the community. And you're going to meet people. Some of you are going to come to the beach with us today. And we're going to baptize. What a great opportunity when you're there. There's always some people at the beach to be a light. And to say to somebody at the beach, hey, how can we pray for you? People, when we go to do beach baptism, people give their hearts to the Lord on the beach. Sometimes they get baptized right on the beach. We just meet them and baptize them. I thought there'd be more enthusiasm about that, because that's what it's about. That's the heart of Jesus. We can't just study Jesus. We got to be him. Yeah, that's a lovely picture of Jesus. We got to go out, because we live in a world that is filled with hurt. And when Jesus sends out the 70, he says, hey, I want you to go out and I want you to be a healing presence. I want you to heal the sick, and I want you to tell people the kingdom of God is near you. How many of you have the king of the kingdom in your heart and in your life? Put your hand up high. Come on. That means everywhere you go, the kingdom of God is near somebody, because you're there. The kingdom of God is near you. And as he sends out the 70, here's what he says, the harvest. He's talking about people, people he loves. The harvest is great. Do you see it? When you travel I-75, do you see it? Do you see the harvest of people in this area is great? And here's a prayer that we should be praying. We're going to pray it before we go. Pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest or in charge of all these people that he loves so much and ask him, send more workers into the field. So there's my prayer. And I'm looking at you. Send more workers into the field. And you don't have to be a professional. You don't have to have all the answers. Some of you are nervous to talk to people about Christ because you're afraid they're going to ask you questions you don't have answers for. I've been telling people about Jesus for a long time, and people ask me, I don't know the answer to that one. But let me tell you what I do know. Here's exactly what I just pivot. Let me tell you what I do know. That my life without Jesus is empty and void. But with Jesus, I have so much peace. I have so much joy. I have so much more love in my life. Don't tell them what you don't know, because you can't tell people what you don't know. Tell them what you do know. It's not too hard to go out and to share the kingdom of God if you really love Jesus. It's not too hard. It's actually natural when you really love Jesus. Because when you really love somebody, when you really love them, yeah, you talk about them. And when you really love them, you like to spend time with them. So you'll see this. A guy will be hanging out with his buddies, his friends. He's hanging out. All of a sudden, he's not there anymore. Where's George? Well, he met a girl. So he's not with his buddies anymore because he's hanging out with her because he's in love. And when he's not hanging out with her and he's back with his buddies, what's he doing? Talking about her. She's the most amazing. Wow. Because when you love, you share freely. So Jesus says, hey, I want you to love me. And I want you to go out and I want you to tell people the kingdom of God is near. I want you to recognize that people are hurting and they need to be healed in their bodies, in their souls, and in their spirits. And that power to bring that healing message is inside of you. And so as you go out this week, share Jesus with a world that desperately needs to hear about Jesus. Amen. And amen. We're going to pray together. So let's close our eyes. Let's open our hearts. And I just invite the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit to do in this room what you need to do. And I pray that you would just bring people to Jesus right now and increase our love for Jesus. Holy Spirit, just come and increase our love for Jesus. Just increase our love. I love you a lot, Jesus, but I think there's room for me to grow. And we're going to pray a prayer together as a declaration of our faith today and our declaration of our trust in Jesus Christ. And there are people in this room that have drifted and you're far away from Jesus right now, but you can't stay there. And so I want to invite you to come back into the family of God. I want you to pray this prayer with us together and really mean it today. And I want this to be a day of change, a day of fresh start for your life. And if that's the kind of prayer you need to pray today, I want you just to let me know by saying, Scott, you know what? I need to get closer to Jesus. I need to be closer to him. And as I pray, I want to pray this prayer with you today, and I want to really mean it in my heart. So as I get ready to pray this prayer, and we're going to all pray it together, if you're really going to pray this prayer in a moment, a declaration of faith of Christ with you and you with Christ, I want you to let me know. I'm going to pray that prayer, Scott. I'm really going to mean it today, and I need to pray that kind of prayer, and I'm going to ask you to put your hand up high enough for me to see and then lift your eyes up because I want to see you. I want to acknowledge you because you matter to God. You matter to God more. He is especially fond of you, and you matter to us. And say, Scott, would you pray? I want to pray that kind of prayer. Put your hand up high. Just let me see it right now. God bless you guys. God bless you way over here. Thank you. Thanks for being here today. Let Jesus do something in your heart today. This is going to be a good day for you. It is. Well, let me. The enemy. Let's look this way just for a moment. Nobody else looking around. The enemy has been ripping you off, and Jesus has come to set you free. Jesus has come to do a great work in your life. He loves you. He is especially fond of you, and let him work in you. How many others just say, hey, that's me? Put your hand up right here. God bless you. God bless you right here, guys. Right here. God bless you right over the front. God bless you. Yeah, my dear brother. God bless you. Glad you're here today. Let Jesus do something in your heart. Way back at the back, I see you. God bless you. Glad you're here. Awesome. Way back, waving your arm, I see you. God bless you. Right here. God bless you. Awesome. God bless you. Glad you guys are in church. It's not about joining this church. You're welcome, but it's about joining Jesus. That's what we want to see. All right. Praise God. Right over here. God bless you. God bless you guys. Come on, somebody. This is awesome. I love this. Come on. Let's put our hands together just for a moment. We're going to pray. Let's just have a moment. Let's just have a moment. Awesome. Okay. We're going to pray. Let's stand together for the prayer. And the prayer team is going to come to the altar. And we're going to pray out loud. Okay. Everybody, let's get ready to pray. Everybody. Whether you put your hand up, some of you should have put your hand up. But you know, Jesus, if your heart is beating hard right now, that's the Holy Spirit calling you to Jesus. So right now we pray this prayer out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, pray it out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I repent of my sins. I turn away from them. And I turn towards you, Lord, to receive your love and your grace and your forgiveness and your mercy. Help me to follow Jesus every day of my life. Today, I make a fresh start. Today, I begin again. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. That's good. That's good. So, now, few things if you're making a fresh start with God. And thanks for bringing your friends, and love when you invite your friends so we can talk to them about Jesus. But if you're making a fresh start with God, we want to get this little book in your hand called What Do You Do Now? Now what? The prayer team has it. You can come up and get one from them. And in a moment, we're going to pray. And whatever's on your heart, we want the Holy Spirit to draw you to a moment of prayer, and we want to pray for you. Our prayer team is here to pray for those who are making a fresh start with God. They're here to pray for people who need a healing. We believe in the healing ministry of Jesus. Do you see how he sent us to pray for people's healing? We're here just to celebrate Jesus. And so what's going to happen in the next few moments is the prayer team is going to pray and minister. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are going to happen right here. We're going to invite that. Some people are going to come and receive communion. And if you'd like to receive communion, you can do that. You don't have to be a member of this church. There's a communion table on the right-hand side and the left-hand side. And just as you come, remember Jesus. That's what he said, remember me. Remember that Jesus died on the cross for you. Remember that he went into the tomb for you. And remember, he wants to be the best friend you've ever had. Now, when you get this little booklet, you can sign up for baptism. If you want to be baptized, you can go over to the Volunteer Central Room, or you can go to the Fresh Start Center out in the lobby. They'll connect you with baptism for today. We're going to baptize. You don't have to wait one more day. You can be baptized today on the beach. Let's pray for good weather. I thought we need more amens. We need more weather intercessors. We need more people to pray for good weather. Yeah. So I'm gonna pray one more prayer just to bless you guys. If you've been a guest here today, hey, thanks so much for coming, and we'd love you to come again. We want to get to know you and share life with you. And if you have been here as a guest, please, before you go, stop by our VIP room. You are our VIP as a guest, and we want to give you some gifts and just get to know you. It's back on the left-hand side. And I'm going to pray one more prayer. After this, there's no other benediction, no other like form. It's just people are going to pray. Worship team's going to lead us. You can worship. You can pray. You can receive communion. You can go with the grace of God. But may you walk with Jesus. And wait. And as you go out, may you share the kingdom of God with people. May there be a new boldness in your life. And you don't even have to be so bold. I had those little invitation cards. I lost them. Anyway, find some of them. How did I lose them? Give them out. Invite them to church. So I'm going to pray. Let's open our hands towards heaven. I like to do this for this blessing. It's a Bible way of praying. So Lord, here are your sons and your daughters reaching out to you. I pray that they would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will draw every person to the prayer that they need. Those who need a fresh start, let them come and receive prayer. Those who need healing, let them come and receive healing. Those who need freedom and deliverance, may they come and receive that. Bless the communion, bless our worship. And Lord, bless these precious people in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. God bless you guys. Amen. Come for prayer. Come for communion.